Blog Talk Radio.
Got you covered. We've got the most top of
churches or other facilities where you may not really become a victim of a shooting, but you may more than likely have some type of situation that involves a bladed instrument. Well, one, let me tell you, bladed instruments can kill you quickly. They can be as deadly as any bullet. And two, they sure sting. If you've ever had any type of cut, you know not only how they can burn, but sometimes they're as bad as a gunshot wound or even worse. So check out our friends today, Body Armor USA. We've got you covered. Give them a call today. And if you would like to become one of our sponsors, we've got an all-inclusive program right now that we offer to all of our sponsors. All-inclusive, including a web ad that you can have, a display ad on our main website, on our news blog website. We also include social media blasts, introduction letters to our members, and much more. If you're interested in advertising, sponsoring, or marketing with us today, give us a call at area code 704-831-8109. That's area code 704-831-8109, and one of our reps will be happy to talk with you about how we can help really get the word out about your product or service. We have tens of hundreds of thousands of listeners to our program, readers of our news blog, members and followers, supporters across the country and around the world. You are going to definitely hit your target market. Again, either send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com or give us a call today at area code 704-831-8109. I was just about to mention Armor College. Well, what a coincidence, because right now Armor College is offering a number of specialty courses at 20 to 40% off. Check them out today at armorcollege.org or give them a call at area code 804-290-4388, or you can contact them at helpdesk@armorcollege.org. helpdeskarmorcollege.org. Armor College is a public safety school offering courses online, on campus, and at your business, church, or school. Give them a call or write them today for more information about their courses and degrees. We are having a great time here in Norfolk, Virginia, on the Atlantic coast, a beautiful, beautiful, sunny, albeit a hot, hot day, but we are enjoying ourselves, and we are just beginning this day at this, in the nation, right here in the U.S. of A., on the Atlantic coast in Norfolk, Virginia. We're going to be talking about breaking news and the headlines, things that are coming up with both Private Officer and Armor College. And then later on in the second half of this program, we're going to be talking about community patrols. There's a lot of renewed interest in using private security to patrol communities, especially those seeing high crime. We're seeing even law enforcement departments such as Orange County, Florida, contracting private security to patrol the streets. Are you kidding me? Are you joking? No, it's for real. The Sheriff's Department in Orange County, Florida, definitely dropped the uniform patrols. Definitely did their jobs. And now Detroit, Michigan, that is a city that is hurting. It's a great city. Detroit is making a comeback, but crime is literally stomping them to death, killing them. And now Detroit aldermen are looking at using contract private security also to patrol their streets. And there are a number of other communities. I know personally of more than a dozen, probably 15 communities that are using private security for community patrol. Tulsa, Oklahoma is another one of those cities. They have marked patrol units patrolling areas of the city right side by side with law enforcement. We've seen for many years private security being used in gated communities, being used for neighborhood watch, being used for various private properties, but now we're going to be talking about how they are making an impact patrolling public property, public roadway, public streets. And while that is great, because boots on the ground is how you deter and stop crime, but it also brings liability issues, it brings concerns, legal issues. We'll be talking about that coming up. We're glad that you have joined us today for this special edition of the Private Officer Beat, coming to you live today from the Navy base, Norfolk, Virginia. I'm telling you, folks, if you've never been to beautiful, sunny, Oceanside, Virginia Beach, the Atlantic coast here in Virginia, you are missing out. There's a lot to see, a lot to do besides laying on the beach, although that's pretty good for some. We have spectacular weather, beaches, fishing, we have a great aquarium, and much more happening here along the Atlantic coast in Virginia.
It's for my wife.
My husband still doesn't know the real story about that dent in the van.
I've never told her that I used to be a lifeguard at a nude beach.
I've never told my kids about the time I was arrested for streaking.
My friends don't know that I still sleep with my teddy bear.
But they all do know one thing about me.
And that I'm an organ donor.
I'm an organ donor.
And that's one thing that's too important to keep a secret. Because I could save somebody's life. How cool is that?
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public...
Right, we are back with you 17 minutes after the hour on a special, special edition of the Private Officer Beat, as we are broadcasting live and remote today from the Norfolk Naval Base. Of course, in Norfolk, Virginia. Oh, I must have had too much OJ this morning. We were just talking about the food spread there. It is unbelievable. You have everything that you can imagine. It's a little bit of buffet, a little bit of barbecue, a little bit of surf and turf, just whatever you want. We were talking about, I was in the Army many moons ago, and I don't remember the food being this much or this good. I do remember taking a trip to see a good buddy of mine. He was stationed at the naval base in Pensacola, and I do remember their food being a whole lot better than the Army. And please don't hate me. Don't send me emails and letters. It was a fact. They had such great food. And now today here at the Norfolk Naval Base, again, they have quite the spread. I mean, my gosh, it really seems like they're trying to feed an army. Oh, wait a minute. They are. We are having a great time. It's about 97 degrees on this hot and humid day. It was already 85 degrees when we arrived at around 7:30 for you military and law enforcement folks. But we are having a great time, and we appreciate the hospitality that we have been extended. This is a large military area here in Hampton Roads area of Virginia, and if you drive around the area, you'll see a lot of government facilities. You'll see a lot of federal buildings. And one thing I noticed, actually, when I was driving down the road, I noticed a big, large building with PETA on it. PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. It was kind of a nondescript building, or would have been a nondescript building, had it not been for all of those animals that they had painted all over the building. It was kind of down off the main road, and, you know, I would have assumed they were trying to be a little bit covert, a little bit out of the beaten path, but with those animals and the big letters of PETA all over the building, it was hard to miss. Well, we've got a lot of news that we want to bring up to you. We're going to be talking later on in the second half of this edition of the Private Officer Beat about private policing on public roads. And we want to tell you we are hiring right now. If you are a DCJS instructor, firearms or general instructor, then please call our school or send us your resume at helpdesk@armorcollege.org, or you can call our offices at 804-290-4388. We're also hiring a special police officer instructor, firearms instructor for Washington, D.C. These are full-time positions. We do ask that you have at least 3 years of experience. We offer excellent salary bonuses and benefits. So email your resume to the office or contact us by phone today. We have a number of events happening. The best way to stay on top of those is go to our website at privateofficer.com. Be sure that you have signed up to receive our newsletters, our email blasts, and our training updates, which are sent out regularly. If you have not signed up for those, please do so today. Simply go to our website at privateofficer.com, privateofficer.com, and right there at the top of the page, you'll be able to do that.
On all of the great news, all of the great information that's being shared via our e-blasts that are sent out regularly from our HQ offices.
Also, over the next month or so, we're going to be broadcasting
broadcasting our shows remotely from a number of New England states. We're going to be in Vermont, New York, Maine, and Connecticut. And then later in September, October, we're heading to Nevada, California, and Montana. So during this time of year, it's kind of our road trip. We do a lot of training out in across the country, and between usually April and October is our busy travel time. We're also, during these months, we're also going to be doing our annual private officer memorial ride. We've got several scheduled, and of course this is the time of year that we ask you to donate to the benevolent fund so that we can assist security officers injured and families of those who have been killed in the line of duty. Simply go to our website, privateofficer.com, and click on the benevolent page in the middle of the page and donate today. We have a lot more to share with you today. And of course, we do want to remind you that if you are interested in scheduling your own private officer memorial and have us come out and facilitate that for you, just drop us a quick email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Now, right now, I'm on my way across the base to another location. So even though we're going to put you on pause as we take this journey, you'll never know it. As we arrive there and pick up where we left off, it'll be just like I never went anyplace. We did want to bring you some live video, and we may be able to do that, but it is restricted in some areas, but we'll try to get you some later on here in the program across our website. And we're going to take just a pause, a quick pause, as we maneuver across to another location here. And of course, we'll be right back. And you won't even know that we've been gone. You're not even going to miss us. You're listening.
All right, well, we have maneuvered our way across the base to another beautiful office where they've been so gracious to put me in a air-conditioned office out of the heat, where I'm going to finish this live broadcast from the Naval Base in Norfolk, Virginia, and we're glad that you are joining us. Before we go over here on the bottom half of the hour to our training or commentary and training segment, some call it my preaching segment, we're going to be talking about private security, public streets, public roads, public enforcement. We're going to look deeper into this, but I wanted to give you a short training on the topic as we begin to really digest the new security in 2016. What the duties are, how they've changed. Like I said, we will be going into this deeper over the next few weeks. Before we get over there, we want to talk a little bit about what's in the news. If you're not getting our news alerts, be sure to sign up on the front page of privateofficer.com. But breaking news right now out of New York City, three Brooklyn men used torches, hammers, and cutting tools to burglarize two different banks. They stole more than $5 million in jewelry, cash, and other valuables in one of the biggest heists in New York City in many, many years, according to federal agents and NYPD detectives. Police say they've arrested three men who went to the rooftop of MassPet Federal Savings Bank on Woodhaven Boulevard in Queens, as well as one of the HSBC banks. They were able to spend a lot of time gaining access into the roof and into the vaults. And it kind of sounds like something out of a movie, but it's real. They made away with, like I said, about $5 million and police have them in custody. No word as to whether or not they have recovered all of the stolen cash and merchandise. In L.A., police there say a man has been arrested for sexually assaulting a 9-year-old boy in a shopping mall bathroom. Police arrested Richard Karima, and it seems like evidently he went into the restroom behind the young boy, sexually assaulted him, security got involved. He's currently being held under a $100,000 bond. In Ross Township, Pennsylvania, police there say that a security officer who was armed accidentally shot one of his friends in the buttocks. In the butt. This was, you know, he was armed. It was a day of his duty. And they say while loading his firearm, it accidentally went off. A Cleveland police officer has also been shot during a robbery. Police in Cleveland, Ohio say three men robbed another person outside of a nightclub, and evidently they shot one of the men who happened to be a security officer for the club. He was shot in the stomach and the arm and is in fair condition at University Hospital. We just got word a short time ago that a security officer was shot in the head during a robbery in the early morning hours, and he is deceased. We do know the name that they are providing, but until we can confirm further details, we're not going to release information about the security officer's name, location, or employer, but we are working to confirm that information, and we will be making it public here shortly. In Rapid City, South Dakota, a security officer there confronted a man who was chasing another person at an apartment complex and shooting at them. The security officer, Trevor Lockerin, did fire several rounds at the man. The suspect then ran behind a building and committed suicide, but the security officer continued to engage him, ran around the building after him, and secured the man's weapon. Great job of that security officer, and we see this quite frequently across the country. A security agent working for Dollar Tree was assaulted and bitten by a woman who has shoplifted a number of items, and police say that that woman is in custody. Also happening right now, In Town Suites, that's a hotel chain, long stay, usually a week or month, is being sued along with a security officer in Norfolk, Virginia, where I'm currently at, because a security officer who lived on the premises was a sexual predator. He was on the sex registry and the hotel still hired him, and evidently he sexually assaulted one of the guests, according to the lawsuit. And we're going to be following this to find out what happens, but that's the story. We also know that this person is accused of sexually assaulting two young children last year, so evidently there is a problem. In Santa Fe, New Mexico, a security officer was able to apprehend a juvenile who broke into a school in the overnight hours. The juvenile was arrested by law enforcement and turned over to his parents. We have a lot of news, constantly coming through our office. Be sure to sign up today, if you haven't already, for the Private Officer News Blast. Our emails about what's happening in the news. They also give you officer down reports as well as training updates. Over the next couple of months, we're going to be doing a lot of training. We're going to be doing a lot of work with the Memorial Service. And as I stated earlier, this is the time of year. Every year, once a year, religiously, we do collect. We ask for donations for the Benevolent Fund. You can go to our website at privateofficer.com, click on the memorial page, and donate there. We really need your assistance. I was telling someone earlier this morning, we are an association that is governed by our members. We can't do it on our own. We don't have the financial resources. If it's not for you, if it's not for the member, then we would be out of business. I often tell people, it's just like a neighborhood restaurant. You say, oh, that's a great place. I love that food, but it's been a long time since I've been there. Then you roll by and all of a sudden they're closed and you're like, what happened? They're so good. Well, everyone thought they were so good, but they just didn't patronize them enough where they could support themselves, make a living, and pay their bills. So be sure, if you're not a member of POI, that you become a member. Or if you have that extra cash, it doesn't take millions, you know, donate whatever you can. Go to our website at privateofficer.com, click on the memorial link, and donate today. Or send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and we'll show you how to get that done. We are going to be talking now about, I don't really want to say this is new because it's not new, but we are seeing an increased interest of private security personnel patrolling public streets. Again, there are a lot of technicalities, legalities, but overall it could be a good thing. And we want to talk a little bit about that. We're going to explore it a little bit deeper in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to be very busy, but I have a couple of other points I want to bring up maybe 2 to 3 weeks down the road. And I do want to say one other thing before we turn it over to the bottom half where we get into this topic. If you would like to be a guest on the radio program, if you would like to talk about a particular subject, just send us an email, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, and we will get that scheduled. We are going to take a PSA, a public service announcement break. We're going to come right back, get into the heart of the matter, and talk about private patrols on public streets.
Every 40 seconds, someone around the world takes their own life. Every 13 minutes, someone in the U.S. commits suicide. While you were getting ready for work this morning, in the first hour of your day, as many as 5 people in the U.S. have killed themselves. By lunchtime, about 20 people in the U.S. have taken their own life. At the end of an 8-hour workday, about 40 people in the U.S. killed themselves. In a 24-hour period, as many as 111 people in the U.S. committed suicide.
Walking a beat, driving a district, responding to calls for service, questioning, confronting, arresting suspects involved in various crimes. These are the duties that you would think were related to law enforcement. These are things that you can recall from your memory, seeing in cops and police movies, and maybe through your own experience. Maybe you even have been there yourself. These are all consistent with the duties and responsibilities of a career law enforcement officer. But the fact is, times are changing, and many private security officers have had these duties on private property, private land, for many years. Think of a shopping mall, an apartment complex, a school campus, a large residential community. These private properties are very similar to towns and cities within cities. Many, many of these complexes take up acres and even miles within their property lines. Private patrolmen, private officers, security patrols have been responsible for the same type of duties and responsibilities as law enforcement on these properties for years. I can remember in the 70s patrolling a huge property that had a gated community, and on this property there were 6 different swimming pools, 6 different clubhouses, and golf course, numerous tennis courts throughout the property, a riding stable. Yes, it was a property for the elite, for the well-to-do, even for the rich and famous. But this was more than 30 plus years ago. So imagine these type of properties today being patrolled by private security and private law enforcement, but responding to the same type of incidents, situations, and crimes that you would have on a public roadway. I can remember this property very well. It was one of those never boring assignments where you always had things happening. Across the country today, and really without very little fanfare and almost without anyone noticing, private security is stretching beyond the private borders. They are leaving those gated communities and individual complexes, and now they're being hired by the dozens and hundreds to patrol public streets and roadways. For years, communities have hired private patrols to patrol subdivisions and certain areas of the community. Although law enforcement does a good job, let's be honest, let's be real, they can't be everywhere all the time. And many people, many communities have come face to face with the fact that with vandalism and thefts and auto burglaries and auto thefts and home burglaries and other property crimes, that 9 times out of 10, police never catch these suspects, aren't there in time to grab them, and these are mostly crimes that go unsolved, and yet they're an invasion of our privacy. They're an invasion of our castle. The home is supposed to be our castle. And yet, here we are. Property crimes have escalated. While many violent crimes went down, property crimes such as theft and vandalism and burglaries of cars and homes went up. And these are crimes that police have little time and little staff, manpower to deal with. And so many communities for years here in the U.S. and elsewhere in other countries have hired private officers to do the job that we would expect and hope that law enforcement could do. But again, I say to you, it's
of no lack of trying on the part of law enforcement. It's just that they don't have the manpower to be on every street corner and every subdivision. It's impossible. So private security has long patrolled these areas in a confined space, private property, but they've also, in numerous areas, communities, states, have patrolled subdivisions and communities, mobile patrol, foot patrol, bike patrol, and even in some cases, horse patrol. And there was a time a few years back when I knew of a company who's no longer in existence who offered boat patrol. They patrolled several gated communities from the backside of the community, from the canals and backwaters and bay area, because they were on water. Boy, that must have been a nice job for those assigned to boat patrol, especially on a beautiful summer day, 85, 90 degrees, a nice breeze coming off the water. Can you imagine? Piece of cake, getting paid to do what you love. Private security, though, in recent years, in the last several years, have moved into a more proactive position. No longer are they just there to observe and report. And so you have many, 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 many private officers who are confronting suspected criminals, responding to emergencies, apprehending, arresting, and detaining those who have broken the law. And now you have them on public street. And while the concept is good, and while the philosophy of more boots on the ground, more eyes and ears will help to lower, deter, detect, and even apprehend, the problem with having these civilians on public street interacting with gang members and those who have violated various laws, the problems are more than one might realize. And so we're going to discuss that as well, because liability, lack of training, no training in certain areas of the law is a huge problem, not only for the security agencies who are providing these officers, but also for the individual officer and the communities who are hiring these security personnel. When you're on private property, a security officer has a lot of authority. As we've often discussed, they are agents of the property. And as agents of the property, just like you being a homeowner or a renter, you have 1,000% control over your domain. And as agents of the property, security officers, agents, loss prevention agents, they too have that same control because they are acting in your capacity as the owner of the property. And so they can eject, trespass, question anybody at any time. They can take whatever actions that a property, a landowner would take. But when we're talking about these same private civilian security personnel patrolling public streets and communities, we have to be careful as to what we're teaching them, training them, instructing them to do, because the rules are different. They're not the same. Those are two different environments. Two different situations. and two different authorities. Walking a beat, driving a distance. I love the idea of placing private officers into extended patrol territories, expanding the responsibilities and duties. But I am concerned about the liability, about the situation of use of force, and about putting people who aren't prepared, aren't trained, aren't ready in situations similar to what law enforcement would experience. Many could handle the situations properly, but many others may not. Anytime that you can put more boots on the ground, more eyes and ears, more people to multiply the force, the bigger, better chance you're going to have to reduce crime, to solve more cases, to apprehend more criminals. That's why many jurisdictions team up oftentimes on certain projects, whether it be DUI enforcement, drug enforcement, and they form multi-jurisdiction teams with private security patrolling public streets and stopping and questioning. I can see disaster on the horizon, and I can also see the benefits. We've got to be honest and weigh this thing out. You see, when the concept was first introduced, private security patrolling communities were nothing more than neighborhood watch. They would patrol most of the time in somewhat of a marked vehicle, whether it be with magnetic signs, yellow lights, whatever. And they were there to be the eyes and ears and report only. Many communities have civilian law enforcement aides, citizen patrols who do the same thing. They don't engage criminals. They don't respond to crime in progress. And many communities, when they first began hiring private security patrol, that's what they thought they were getting. But many areas began asking private security companies to do more, to engage suspicious persons walking through the neighborhood, to stop speeding vehicles, to apprehend those they may find breaking the law. And when you're asking civilian private security to enforce public law on public roads, it is a liability issue. While most states do have laws that allow private citizens to make a citizen's arrest or to detain someone, it's still a question of liability for the individual private security officer and his employer, as well as the client. Because if they detain or stop or arrest or have to use force against someone who it's later revealed they weren't responsible for committing crime, just like with police officers, there's going to be lawsuits, there's going to be headlines, there's going to be some serious repercussions, including arrest of the security officer for unlawful detention, kidnapping, assault. We've seen it happen in Georgia, in Nashville, in South Carolina, and various states through the years. Good intentions of the officer doesn't always equate to not violating the law. There's an old saying in the law, ignorance is no defense. And so I want to make sure And the reason why we're discussing this today, even though we've discussed this previously a few times, I want to be sure today that as we are getting more involved in public law enforcement type duties, as we, the security industry, the security community, are taking on more contracts patrolling public land, public roadway, public streets, that we understand completely our authority and our limits, and that we offer more training to those involved, engaged in that type of activity than what the state requires or what our companies have done in the past. If you're going to have a private security officer acting as a quasi-public private police, we need to be giving them a whole lot more training. Training in de-escalation, training in communication, training in how to stop somebody, what to say, what type of force can be used in certain situations. We need to teach them about responding to emergencies, about officer safety, about approaching vehicles, about how to do the job that they are being asked to do. Why are we putting people out there who do not have these skills, do not have this training, and asking them to do more that probably they are experienced to do? In many states, more than 30 now, private security also have public arrest authority, police law enforcement arrest authority. But most of these states, not all, unfortunately, but most, have some tighter, more stringent requirements and training for these folks to have that additional authority. Again, not all states have, you know, a large-scale training format for special police or private police, but some do, and they are beginning to increase that training across the board and across the country. If you are working for a company in a private patrol and you're out on public street, train yourself. Go to additional training. Find training online, at your community college, whatever it might be. Learn about speaking, engaging, communicating, de-escalation, use of force, deadly force, the laws of your community. I tell people all the time, how can you enforce the law if you're not even sure what the law is? Well, he's going to be charged with this. I'm going to charge him with that. How do you know that's the law that applies to that situation? We have to be careful, folks. That's all that I'm saying. I think that using private security companies, just in the last few weeks, Orange County, Florida sheriff hired a private security company, I believe it was G4S, to patrol certain communities that had a higher level of crime than some other communities. And they patrolled in a marked vehicle. I don't think they engaged people as far as running after suspects. I think it was more of an observing report. But the sheriff reported a huge drop in crime from those communities. Just this week, Detroit announced they are looking into using private security to patrol high crime areas because they need the extra manpower. They need the help. It's cheaper. That's the number one reason. Number two, they don't have to send people through a six-month academy, so they can hire people today and get them on the street basically within a day or two or a week. Unlike with law enforcement, it may take 6 months to a year from the hiring process to the academy and being able to actually be out and using those officers. And so many areas are, and again, I say that's all well and good. But let's be careful of what we're asking them to do. Let's be careful with how they are being put to use so that they don't get injured or killed. We have enough security personnel being injured and killed without having to put more people out on the street in dangerous situations. There are a few things that I want to add in closing. First of all, if we're patrolling, we need communication beyond a phone. A cell phone works most of the time, but it's not instant communication. We need to set up some type of two-way communication, either with the central dispatch or the law enforcement or another officer. Number two, we need to put dual officers. That officer needs to have a backup. No officer, especially after the shootings in Dallas and Baton Rouge and other places, anybody who's in uniform can become a target. And we don't need to have an individual at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning patrolling a high crime area in Detroit or Orlando or Miami or New York or any place else. We need to have backup there, not someplace, somewhere. Maybe they'll get there. Maybe they won't. Number three, we got to really make sure that we've got additional training happening. It is just vital to have people to have the right training. The minimum training, 100 hours, not 10 or 20 or 40. They really need 100 hours of training. De-escalation, use of force, emergency response, communication, so on and so forth. I know it's not going to happen, but that's what they need. Number four, we need to have a different screening process for those who will be on patrol in public areas. They don't need to be your run-of-the-mill average security officer. They need to be prior law enforcement, prior military. They need to be specialized because they're being asked to do specialized duties. And number five, we need to have supervision on these personnel. We need to be able to support these personnel. We need to have a good three-way communication between the client, the security company, and the local law enforcement. We need to know who is patrolling that area. If you're working a certain area of a city and you're on mobile or foot or horse patrol or whatever it might be, you want to know who the beat cop is, and you want to have good rapport with those officers, because when you need help, when you need backup, and you call, they're going to be there. But if you're just any Joe Blow, run-of-the-mill security guard, cop, mall cop, and they don't know you, and they get calls from you saying you need backup, they're going to be like, yeah, okay, yeah. They'll get there when they get there. Using private patrols, private security, patrolling public land, public property, public roads, it's a great idea. We need those boots on the ground. We know that the more uniformed officers that we can flood into the high crime areas, into the areas where we're having issues, that the lower the crime will go. Because, unfortunately, just like cockroaches, if you spray an area, they do leave, but they just move over to the next block, the next room, the next building. And crime will come back. So having boots on the ground, extra uniform manpower, people who know what they're doing, it is effective, and it will be effective. But we have to do it smart. We have to do it safe. We have to do it prepared. And we have to understand that this is not just any run-of-the-mill contract. This is not just